This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Pedlin Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's May 23rd, 2020. Yeah, I know we're on a weird day. I'll talk about that in a minute. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening on Facebook Live right now, you can comment at the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, or you can email me at bicycletalk, @gmail.com. We are recording our shows on Mondays now, although today is Saturday, more on that later, using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesdays at WHUS 91.7 FM. We will continue to do this until we are allowed back in the studio at the UConn campus. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Excuse me. Ron's rant of the week. Okay, this one was brought to me by my friend Todd, and he is an avid cyclist in the area and was an awesome spin instructor years ago and occasionally gets dragged back in to do it again. But Todd says nips on the road. Nips on the road. Nips on the side of the road. What's a nip, Fran? Do you know what a nip is?
No.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
You know those little tiny plastic bottles that have alcohol in them?
For sure.
And people just toss them out and they throw them onto the side of the road and they garbage and they litter our landscape. Why do people throw trash out the door? And why do they throw the trash out their windows anyway in the first place? I know why they threw the nips out. I know why they throw the empty beer cans out. Because there tends to be, you know, the I'm going to grab a quick drink before I get home from work. Or, sadly, I'm going to grab a quick drink before I get to work. So, anyway, nips on the side of the road and other garbage on our landscape. This is my rant of the week. It comes directly from Dr. Todd. And so he says here, so Ron, over the years I've always been totally grossed out by the number of nips on the side of the road, clearly tossed out of car windows. So who buys nips? Obviously people who drink, but think they can hide the first few in the morning or the last few on the way home from their spouse. Follow me on this. I once counted 62 empty nip bottles on a 22-mile ride in Wyndham, Mansfield, and Chaplin. Whoa! Bring on the pandemic, or as I like to call it, the damn panic. Sadly, there are many non-essential workers staying home as well as the unemployed. However, this year, there is hardly a nip. I counted 7 today on the same ride, saw Fran. So what does this mean? Well, that is a really good question. Now that the nipper's spouses know that their spouse drinks, will there be less nips on the road? From a friend who was in total zen on a ride, Todd. Interesting. So because people are no longer in their automobiles driving home from work or driving to work, sadly, they're not drinking while they're driving their cars as much. This is kind of good news as far as cyclists go. This is actually a pretty good deal. Hey, Billy. Hey, Pete. How you doing? Pete says, right, too many nips. I hear you. So anyway, you know, if you're a nipper, would that be something that you would be if you were drinking nips, a nipper? Anyway, if you are, you know, please don't do that. Not especially when you're driving a vehicle and, oh God, don't even get me started. Anyway, we're going to go to the positive side. So on a positive side, May is bike month. Hey, you've heard this. This is like what? 1, 2, 3. Is this 3 weeks in a row now? 4 weeks in a row? I don't know. We're deep into May here at this point. It's bike month, and I like to keep reminding people of it. And as we go to the League of American Bicyclists, we will see more information about it. I pulled up this, which I should have pulled up weeks ago, but there is because they are actually changing over their date for Bike to Work Week, which is going to be on September 21st through 27th in 2020. Bike to Work Day is going to be Tuesday, September 22nd. But what they're saying now is they would like to celebrate Bike Month this May as #BikesUnite. Unite. Okay, all one word. So hashtag Bikes Unite on your social media. And here are some suggestions of how to take part in National Bike Month this year. Go for a ride solo. Take a photo and share it as a social media and show the world that on hashtag Bikes Unite. Take a picture of yourself and your bike. Challenge your friends to a photo contest. Who can take the best photo with their bike leaning next to a tree? Make a scavenger hunt in your community to help people discover local sites. Take a selfie in front of your favorite small businesses to show support. Join National Bike Challenge. Log your miles and see how many people across the country are uniting by biking. Watch and share the league's videos about how to gain confidence in your riding skills. Connect with league member, state and local advocacy groups, bike clubs, and local bike shops to discover virtual events in your area that are using the league's map. If you have the ability, consider supporting your local bicycle advocacy organization, bicycle-friendly businesses in your community, and make a purchase, buy a gift card, whatever. Do something nice. Do something nice. So, you know, you're a special person. You ride a bike. You're listening to me. You're a total special person if you're listening to me. But anyway, do something for National Bike Month. We are going to kick that one out the door. And here we go. The next thing I have on my list, of course, is Maintenance Minute. This is a reminder, and it's a reminder that we all... Hi, Eric. Hi, Jim. It's a reminder that we all forget about sometimes. You'll go out for a ride, and you'll be going for a ride, and you'll go, this is kind of an unusual noise coming out of my bike. And it will be your chain talking to you. Talking chains... They should be mute. They should have the mute button on. Okay, you don't want talking chains. Talking chains are the ones that make kind of a whiz and a whir kind of sound as you're pedaling, especially if you're putting a little extra pressure on the pedals, like climbing a hill or whatever. You'll hear a voo, voo, voo kind of noise coming out of your chain. It's not a good noise. All right, that means your bike chain is talking to you. Your bike chain should be quiet, very, very quiet, very silent. You will always hear a little bit of your chain, but it should be pretty quiet. So you don't want that. Most of all, you don't want to go, what's that noise? Are you wheezing or is that your bike? Could be you. Chain talk, the difference between talking and crying. Okay, talking, your chain talking is that whooshing noise that I sort of made earlier. The crying noise is when it starts to squeak. If your chain is squeaking, it is crying. It is crying at you, and it's telling you that I really need some lube. So what's your favorite lube? Mine is BoShield. I just love that stuff. I think it's the best out there. Some people say it's a little messier than others are, but if you use it properly and you take care of your chain properly, it's really not that bad. And it's the best lubricant I have ever used. It lasts longer than any of the other ones that I have seen at this point. But, you know, this is my opinion. It's my show. It's my opinion. So, therefore, if you have an opinion on this, I'd love to hear it. And you can share it on Facebook Live or on Facebook on the Bicycle Talk page. Or you can send me an email to bicycletalk, @gmail.com. Love to hear what your favorite lube is. Okay. One of the other things that I forgot to mention on the positive side is, could the pandemic usher in a golden age of cycling? And I put here more discussion on the show. Well, we're on the show. So let's talk COVID-19 and the positive side. The question, this comes from the World Economic Forum. Yeah, a lot of people are talking about bicycles right now. Bicycles are a big deal. They're a way bigger deal than we have ever seen in my lifetime. And I'm real old, so I've been around for a while. But this is a huge deal that we're working with right now. And it's certainly something for us all to pay attention to. Europe is seeing a rise in schemes to support cycling as governments look to protect the public transportation systems, boost public health, and capitalize on clean air gains as they take the first steps out of COVID-19 lockdowns. Berlin, Paris, Brussels, and Milan are among the major European cities rolling out both permanent infrastructure and pop-up Corona cycleways in a wave of investment that includes free bike repairs and even cycling lessons. How about that? The initiatives come from Prime Minister Boris Johnson, come as Prime Minister Boris Johnson urges the Brits to consider hopping in the saddle as they begin a phased return to work. Polling reveals that 57% of his compatriots plan to reduce their public transport usage due to fear of illness. Hey, if you're afraid to get onto the train, or if you're afraid to get onto the bus or whatever it is that you're using, if you're using actual mass transportation to get to work, or you just are tired of sitting in your car for your 5-minute commute to work or your 5-mile commute to work, maybe it's a 10-mile commute to work. And the national average shows under 10 miles. So if you're tired of sitting in the parking lot on the highway and you've seen enough of, you know, the person next door that is texting while they're sitting there and supposedly driving their car and then rear-ending the person in front of them because they weren't paying attention. Oh, God, people are stupid in cars. Anyway, if you are tired of seeing all that, then, you know, hopping on the bike is a great alternative, especially if you live up here in the Northeast or in any of the northern states and you are dealing with, weather. We have winter, and winter kind of, you know, puts a little bit more restriction on the commuting thing, but it does not completely stop the commuting thing. I know people who are hardcore, very, very hardcore. But anyway, so 57% in Britain say they plan to reduce their public transport usage due to the fear of illness. How about that? So as research emerges linking air pollution to higher coronavirus death rates, many authorities are seizing the opportunity to make a civic life in a healthier image. Sure. So why would Dr. Franz here on this one. Why would high air pollution rates contribute to a coronavirus rate?
Oh.
Death rate. Whoa. Yeah. We're talking asthma, right?
Yes.
And there's also, there's all sorts of lung disorders that come from air pollution.
You want some like science-y stuff?
Oh, a little bit. A little bit. Not as long as it's not too involved.
You don't want me to be too long-winded? Winded, get it?
Winded, get it, yes.
That's a little dark humor for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so air pollution, right? So air pollution is that's breakdown products of combustion.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in breakdown products of combustion?
I don't know.
Free radicals.
Free radicals.
Yeah, you don't want free radicals. So free radicals are unstable compounds that want to not be free radicals. They want to be whole.
They would like to be.
They want to get their electrons back, so they're no longer free radicals, basically.
Okay.
So unfortunately, free radicals, when the free radicals come in contact with your tissues, they are unstable, and they want to fill themselves full of electrons. So they steal electrons from you, and now you have a molecule in, for example, your lungs or your mm-hmm. endothelium, your mm-hmm. The lining of your blood vessels, that is now missing an electron. So it doesn't like being in that state, so it'll grab an electron from the next molecule. And now that one is a free radical. And so now you have a free radical chain. You have a chain of things that are stealing electrons from each other. And what do you wind up having? You have oxidative damage.
Right.
So pollution causes oxidative damage. And if you breathe pollution in, you get oxidative damage to your lungs. You get leaky blood vessels and you get leaky lungs. And so
terrible.
These are opportunities for the virus to get in, to bond to the ACE2 receptors and do the little spike protein thing. And on the one hand, if there's oxidative damage to the lungs, the virus can get in. You increase inflammation in the whole body. When you have an increased inflammation, you have a hypercoagulable state. You're more likely to clot. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that coronavirus hurts you is through blood clotting.
Yeah.
Also, you breach the lining of the lungs so that the viruses can get inside and start doing damage underneath the lining of the lungs and especially underneath the lining of the blood vessels. So it's all about oxidative damage. There's a number of mechanisms by which it makes it harder for you to keep your immune system healthy and to give the virus more of an opportunity to take hold.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Fran. So there it is. There's a science behind it. Basically what it comes down to is, pollution is just not good for us at all. And if you can ride your bike, you can eliminate a lot of pollution. The major, I read this a couple of weeks ago, the major percentage of our pollution in this country is caused by the internal combustion engine. It's automobiles, it's trucks, it's all these machines that we're running to transport ourselves, and that's where the big problem is right now. So anyway, the pollution is a big issue, and now that we are all riding our bikes, lots of people are riding their bikes anyway, and not driving back and forth to work, I can tell you right now, it's the air's cleaner. The air's a lot cleaner and like measurably cleaner. So this is kind of a big deal, and it goes all against all those people who are promoting fossil fuel as the end all. Well, it is the end all. It'll end you is what it'll do. So we want to stay away from that fossil fuel. And I read a lot about, I read a lot of research, a lot about electric vehicles, because electric vehicles are kind of a thing. They're coming on, and people say, well, but you need power to recharge your electric vehicle. Yeah, but the power that's generated for the electric vehicle is far less than the number of vehicles on the road. You got to look at the percentages, and you got to see how it all works. But so leading the Peloton back to the COVID and bicycle thing here, leading the Peloton is France, which has earmarked 20 million francs, $21.7 million to get people pedaling. The Minister for Ecological Transit, Elizabeth Bourne, said she wants to see a step forward in cycling culture in the country. Her package makes all citizens eligible for free bike repairs up to 50 francs at nominated outlets, as well as free training and more temporary bike parking spots. The news comes as France starts to ease what has been one of Europe's toughest lockdowns. There's your word, Fran.
I don't like the word lockdown.
She hates that. With residents in, well, I don't like pandemic. I like damn panic better. But, you know, that's another thing. With residents in one of the country's low-risk green zones now able to travel up to 100 kilometers, meet in groups of about 10 people, and exercise outside for no longer than an hour. Okay. Local governments across the country are being urged to create new lanes to boost uptake in a country where 60% of all car journeys are less than 5 kilometers. Paris, which lies in a red zone where restrictions remain, plans to provide the city cyclists with 650 kilometers of bike lanes, while Mayor Anne Hidalgo has introduced a partial traffic ban on busy Rue de Rivoli to make space for pedestrians and cyclists. So the World Health Organization guidance recommends both cycling and walking as an ideal way to meet physical requirements in a lockdown. Some cities with an established cycling culture, such as Amsterdam, are working to accommodate the increase in physical activity with social distancing rules. Then, yeah, if you've ever seen a street of cyclists in Amsterdam, there's no social distance going on there. They're packed with bicycles, just packed. So 40% of the journeys in Amsterdam are made by bike, compared with 2% average across Britain. And it's allowing pedestrians to spread out over cycle lanes and is shifting bikes to the road, where cars are now obliged to observe a reduced 30 kilometer per hour speed limit. That's pretty cool. So German cities that have been using removable tape and temporary signage to create wider bike lanes that allow cyclists to comply with social distancing. The pop-up lanes are created by narrowing existing car traffic lanes. I love this. After they were a success in bike-loving Berlin, where they didn't slow car traffic unduly, and they are due to be rolled out in more than 100 German cities. Germany has permitted bike repair services to remain open across the country throughout the lockdown. The three states, including Berlin, have kept bike vendors open too. Helpful public safety messages, including guidance on how far behind another rider constitutes a socially distanced cycle. The answer, it seems, is 20 meters. So if you're wondering. So there's another little chart that just came out, which you can't see, but maybe I'll post this on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page because this is kind of cool. 11,000 fewer deaths in Europe due to clean air. Estimated number of premature deaths avoided due to the lower pollutant exposure. Estimated, okay. 2,083 in Germany, 1,752 in the United Kingdom, and on down. The lowest number recorded was 383 in Romania. And this is over the past 30 days as of April 30th, 2020. Top eight countries for averting deaths as illustrated. I will put this up onto the Bicycle Talk Facebook page so you can take a look at it. It's kind of an interesting chart. I thought it was cool to check out. Other places that people are paying attention to this in Europe. Europe is obviously a leader here because people understand bicycles better over there than they do here, which is very unfortunate and shame on us, but that's another story. Over in Westminster, the British government has announced a $250 million, that's $307 million in American dollars, emergency active travel fund that will see pop-up bike lanes, protected space for cycling, wider pavements, safer junctions, and cycle corridors introduced across England. Last month, the Scottish government announced a similar $10 million boost for active travel infrastructure that will include provision for cyclists. The news comes as the UK sales shift up in gear. The BBC reports a 200% boom in use the cycle to work scheme. Shares in bike vendor Halfords have risen 23% amid reports of a very strong sale. While in Britain alone, the Van Moof electric bike jumped 184% between early February and the end of April. So Milan, Italy, the worst hit model city. The Italian city of Milan is seized the chance to remake its infrastructure with both hands, The Guardian reports. This is from The Guardian, by the way. The average commute in this small, densely populated city of hard hit region Lombardy, is less than 4 kilometers. Average commute, less than 4 kilometers. This suggests that a large number of people could easily switch to cycling and help make the city's previously high pollution levels a thing of the past. To encourage this, the city has unveiled its Strada Aperte, open roads plan, which will see 35 kilometers of extra cycling and walking provisions, including temporary bike lanes, a 30 kilometer per hour speed limit, and whole streets given over to pedestrians and cyclists. With Italy a month ahead of much of the West dealing with the pandemic, other densely populated cities will be watching with interest as it seeks to change the habits and preserve the green gains. The deputy director of Milan, Marco Granelli, told The Guardian, "Of course we want to reopen the economy, but we should do it on a different basis from before." This is great. This is incredible information because it now comes back to that lovely self-propelled machine that we all love, which I'm assuming we love because, you know, here we are listening to Bicycle Talk, so you obviously have some interest here. Eric sent something over to my account. I can use it for the next. Thank you very much, Eric. I appreciate that. So the list of cities that is prioritizing the needs of cyclists is going on. Rome is planning to roll out 150 kilometers of bike lanes as it moves into phase two of lockdown withdrawal. Barcelona has removed parking from 21 kilometers of city streets to make more space for cyclists. Budapest has created temporary cycle lanes, lowering the price of Bubi, the municipal bike sharing scheme. I don't know what that is. I have to look that up. Leicester in the UK has established a temporary bike lane to local hospital as a key workers corridor, while the Greater Manchester has set aside £5 million for pop-up cycleways and widening pavements. As the pandemic rages on, bicycles remain the safe way to maintain your physical and mental health and, if permitted, commute to work. Thanks to all the provisions of these fast-forward looking government, cycling is getting safer all the time. How about that? So this is created by the pandemic. Something positive always comes out of something negative. I have a very strong feeling about that, and I believe that this one's huge. It does hit on a personal note because I am certainly a very strong advocate of cycling and what it can do for you and for me and for us in the world. So this is a really, really big deal. They call in France, they're calling the blocked out lanes that they're using for the cyclists to ride. They're calling them Corona cycleways, which is kind of fun. So, France is laying out 650 kilometers of cycleways, including a number of pop-up Corona cycleways, and will be ready for May 11th when lockdown is erased in France. Eased in France. Before the coronavirus crisis, Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo had promised that every street would become cycle-friendly by 2024, but fears of gridlock caused by increased traffic once the lockdown is eased are allowing officials to accelerate Hidalgo's existing planned Velo transport changes. So here it is, there were naysayers. Oh, you can't do that. You can't lock down the streets. It's going to create chaos. It's going to do that. You know what creates chaos? Getting into a motorized vehicle all by yourself and going to the same place that three of your neighbors are going to. That creates chaos. That is a problem.
Eric said Oakland, California closed a bunch of streets for biking.
74 miles, as I remember.
Okay.
Actually, yeah, 74 miles is a lot. And the interesting thing about Oakland, thank you for sharing that, Eric, by the way. The interesting thing about Oakland is that they didn't have enough room in the parks, and people wanted to get out so bad that they decided just open the streets up. We'll spread them all out. That way you can spread them out really easily. Closed it to traffic and just automobile or motorized traffic, put it that way, except for emergency vehicles. And they let people go wild on the streets. What a brilliant idea. Wonderful, wonderful. Make the streets into parks. We will always find use for the streets, okay? If for some reason motorized vehicles become like that, that was so yesterday, then, the streets will still be used. They're still there. They're still functional, and they can still be used. So it's not like we're wasting any money on taking away all this transportation, all these transportation veins and arteries. We're actually using them in a different way. That's all. It's very, very simple. And that way that we're using them is increasing our health, which is wonderful. It's increasing our fitness, which is wonderful. It's increasing our ability to make a decision in our head, which is wonderful. This is all good, good news. It's all great news. And it's just so nice that it's being addressed that way instead of, oh, you cyclists. I mean, we've all heard it. We all know. We know the naysayers. We've dealt with them. We've been coal rolled by them in their diesel trucks. We've had all these things happen when you go down the road. I had a full can of beer. Why someone would waste a full can of beer on my head, I don't know. Thrown directly at my head when I was
Maybe
riding my
bike
years ago.
Maybe it wasn't very good beer.
Well, it was obviously not good beer because it was in a can, for starters. Okay. Oops, I said it. So obviously it was not good beer, and I will say by the extremely popular label on the outside of the can, it definitely is not a good beer. But the point is that someone threw it at me when I was riding my bike down the road. I could hear it whizzing by my ear. That's how close it came to hitting me in the head. It was way, way back in the days that helmets were not something that we wore every day, so I did not have a helmet on. And if that beer can at 55 miles an hour, which is about the speed that car was probably going because it was on a state road, if that had hit me at that speed, it would have killed me. Boom. Done. Over. So why people do things like that, I don't get it. I don't understand at all. But Randy says the best beers are in cans now. Yeah, laugh out loud. I got you, Randy. That's good. The roads are going to get safer. The roads are going to become more populated. What's the problem with putting more cyclists on the road? Yes, it clogs traffic, clogs automobile traffic. How many, let's say 1 in 10 of those people that are in the car, instead of reacting to the, oh my God, there's a cyclist and he's in my way and I hate him, what if they go, I should be doing that instead of sitting here in traffic like this. This is crazy. What if just 1 in 10? Give me 1 in 10. That's a start. That'll get us going here. So anyway, this is all good things to know. Okay, we're going to exit that page because something just happened to it, but that's okay. More things that I wanted to talk about here today. Incredible the way things are working here. Europe's cities are making less room for cars after the coronavirus. So here it is. This was from way back in April 22nd, but it's definitely a, let's see, this is City Lab one. Is that this one right here? Yeah, City Lab. So how cities are emerging from the coronavirus quarantines once lockdown measures are relaxed, the question might seem premature in the U.S., but places where the virus struck early, cities are working out strategies for a return to something approaching normal urban life. And normal urban life is getting on bicycles more, having more opportunities for places for people to ride their bicycles. This is a big, big, big deal. So the change is happening. They're taking out, in some cities right now, they're taking a lane of parallel parking out, gone. No more parallel parking on that side of the road, and turning it into a bike lane. Perfect. It's wide enough. You know, it's as wide as a car is. It's 6 feet wide. So it gives you, you know, 6 feet, which is what we all say we need right now. But if you had bikes going in both directions on a 6 foot lane, then you'd have 3 feet for each rider. That's plenty of room. That's plenty of room. You can pass with two trailers, both being pulled by bicycles and not collide with one another in that much space. So, yeah, how about we just take a look at all the parallel parking that we have in cities? I know this is going to congest things. I know it's going to drive people nuts, but it may also drive people to ride their bikes. And that's what we're here for. We're here to get more people riding their bikes. And so it's important that this is enacted. And you know, it's going to take a bold city to pull this off. Someone who really feels that, a city that really feels that, you know, they're going to be the groundbreaker on this. They're going to be the trendsetter. But hey, are you in the city that could be the trendsetter? Do you know someone who does planning in your city that could be setting a trend? Start with, oh, I don't know, maybe like two or three arteries that bring people, you know, across your city. Ones that are fairly popular but still have parallel parking on them. Take it out. Get rid of it. Get rid of the parallel parking. Put a bike lane there and see what happens. I think you'll have amazing results. You're going to have a lot of people that are going to be upset. They'll get over it. A lot of people are upset right now because they're locked into their homes. They're getting over it. They're dealing with it. People do adjust. So this is the time to take a look at parallel parking as we know it. I made a proposal in the city of Willimantic back in the wintertime, and one of the results of my proposal was that parallel parking was taken away from one side of the street and a two-way bike lane was put in, which would be now the airline trail going through Willimantic in a very safe fashion. And it would be actually a dedicated lane with a barrier that would damage a motorized vehicle should you cross it with your motorized vehicle. So this is really the answer. This is really the way we need to go. One lane, a parallel parking on a major street. Get rid of it. Get it out of there. Put bikes on it. You will change society by doing this. This is a great thing. It really is. So anyway, this is what they're doing in Europe. You're starting to see more and more of it. It's going to become a popular discussion, I believe, in the future. It's time. It's time to make this move. It's totally time to make this move. So, let's talk something a little bit different right now. In the last show, I mentioned that Chris Froome was in discussions over a mid-season transfer. Yeah, I know, I'm back to bike racing. Yeah, here we are. It's bike talk. Anyway, Chris Froome is in discussions over mid-season transfer. So one of those mid-season transfers is, I think that one of them was actually Emirates, United Emirates of Israel, I think we're looking at him right now. But anyway, the other one is Movistar, and Movistar denies Chris Froome's transfer rumors, despite the Spanish pros and enthusiasm for the move. In Spain, you will eat very well and you'll have very good coverage. That's what they say in Spain. That's how they're trying to lure him over. They're telling him he's going to eat really
food.
And they have good food.
Nice.
Yeah, they have good food and you'll get very good coverage. And I got to tell you, you know, I used to watch the tours on Spanish TV. I don't speak Spanish, but I knew what was going on, and the enthusiasm level of the commentators blows away any of the, no offense, but any of the American or the British commentators that are out there. First of all, the British commentators, I mean, I love them, and I love their knowledge, and I love what they've done, and, you know, God bless Paul Sherwin, because he is no longer with us, but they're just a little dry. And I think that's kind of a British thing, whereas you listen to the Italian commentating or the Spanish commentating, and you swear to God they're going to jump through your speakers. I mean, they really are, like, just crazed with the sport, really, really crazed with the sport. So anyway, Chris would be probably beside himself if you went over there. I don't know if he could handle that level of enthusiasm, but he should maybe think about this. So, you know, he's still he's for sale right now. Chris Froome is for sale. He's 35 years old. He's maybe got one or two more good years left in him. Maybe more. You know, he may defy it all. I mean, he's kind of a phenomenon, so you never really know. He could make it into his, you know, into up to 40.
He has spaghetti arms.
He does have spaghetti arms. He has spaghetti body. His whole body is like this big, langly, it's just, you know what it is.
He can move a bike.
But he can move a bike. That man can move a bike. And that is, you know, it's really, truly impressive that you can have the style points are definitely not there, but the ability to move the bike, they're premier.
I know a lot
they're
of
wonderful.
People like that.
That the style points aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we need to get into that discussion. I have a funny feeling I know where that's going to go. So
I question my own style points.
Oh, okay. No, your style points are fine. Right. You're fine. You can dance. You're good.
I can dance.
Oh, Randy Spellman says he misses John Tesh tour music. Yeah. Absolutely. Wasn't that like the best? You know why it was the best, though? I would tend to want to look at one of those productions from years ago. They were the John Tesh and CBS Sports were the first ones to bring the Tour de France to the American public. And they did it on a wrap-up weekend, is basically what they did. They did a one-hour show, and they basically wrapped up what happened in the week on the tour in 1 hour, which is truly not enough time, as we know. But it was good. And he had, like, the most amazing production of music behind him. And he went on to be a really big music guy, right, John Tesh?
He does
a bunch of stuff with orchestras, and I'm not sure exactly what he does. But
inspiring quotes and posts.
And his commentary was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant because you just wanted to get involved in it. It was really cool. So, yeah, John Tesh. Hey, let's find some John Tesh. Hey, Randy, I got a job for you. Why don't you see what you can conjure up online and see if you can find some old footage of John Tesh and what he did with CBS, if it's not, you know, protected. And let's throw it over onto the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, because I would love to watch that. That would be really, really cool. So you're right. The one word is passion. You're absolutely right, Randy. It's so, so cool. It's okay, Chris. You can be late. You can watch it later on. We will save this for you. So I'm reading my notes here as they're coming across the screen. So anyway, Froome is looking because now we got like three possibilities of Grand Tour leaders for Ineos, and it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. They're going to have to do something because, you know, Geraint Thomas is still there. And who was the other one? There was one other one, the young Colombian boy who's coming up strong. I mean, it's just, you know, Chris needs some wiggle room right now. And he wiggles a lot. So anyway,
there it is.
He does. So let's talk a little bit more about the Tour de France. How am I doing for time? We're doing good for time. Tour de France 2020 still in doubt after team managers and health experts question the plans for the rescheduled race. This came out late April on this, and they're still wondering whether or not this thing can really happen. I don't see it. Quite honestly, I'm debating my own event, and my event is just a little itty bitty event. And, you know, I'll maybe get 300 to 400 riders to show up to it. And it's in October, and I just don't know right now. I'm having some serious discussions with people about it because it's to put 50 or 100 riders on the line and have them all standing there together just before the gun goes off. I'm a little unsettled about it. I'm not really comfortable. So I don't know. How do you now put on the largest, most watched sporting event in the world? And mainly because it's not just televised, but it's on the sides of the road where people are having these huge parties on the side of the road waiting for the Peloton to come through. The Peloton comes screaming through and then they're still partying. So it's, I don't know how you do that. How do you regulate that with social distancing? I don't see it. I just don't see it. But they're still talking about doing it at the end of August, and there is a possibility that it may not happen because they're still having discussions about it too. What do you do with this? I have no idea. So anyway, I thought I would mention that. That's all I have on the Tour de France right now. I have some other local news coming up here a little later on. And we might as well work on that. But first I'll talk a little bit more about Mavic. Mavic is of course in receivership. And there is, and I forgot to call this one up. And there are some few pieces of information here from Bicycle Retailer, which I can pull up. So anyway, receivership will alleviate unsustainable costs for Mavic, Regent Partner says. This was published on May 11th in Bicycle Retailer magazine, or Brain, as those of us who are in the industry know it. The U.S. operations are continuing as usual, despite the brand's French wing being put into receivership. So it's actually the French division of Mavic that is actually in receivership, which is kind of interesting. For all intents and purposes, it's business as usual in the U.S. and Canada, said David Steinheffel. The CEO, Steinheffel, is a principal in Region LP and a California-based investment group that acquired Mavic from Amer Sports last year. Operations are continuing, but hey, if you're not producing product and you got rid of 200 people, your 250 people, I don't know exactly how they're going to do this, but, you know, they're working on something. So it's not over with yet. And speaking of they're working on something, L'Équipe says, and L'Équipe is a French magazine, says a group including two former pro riders are aiming to save Mavic, or Mavic, as they say over there. French newspaper is reporting that a business lawyer is planning to save Mavic, which was placed in receivership. The paper that is owned by ASO, which also owns the Tour de France and other major cycling events. This is interesting. Lawyer Didier Poulmare is working with a small group of experts from the bicycle manufacturing, distribution events, and marketing sector, and two renowned ex-professionals, okay, I wonder who they are, to help revive Mavic. So there's a couple of pro riders that are involved in this. Hopefully they were a couple of pro riders that made a whole pile of money, because this is not an easy buyout. And they are working on this. So we will see where that brings Mavic. But Mavic is definitely, they're in trouble at the moment. And I know why they're in trouble. Because they were the support vehicle of every major tour. No Giro, no Tour de France. Who knows what's going on with the Vuelta a España. Every race you saw, and those are the big ones, had those bright yellow Mavic Volvos with the bikes all over them. And, you know, it's like, what's going to happen there? We don't know. We don't know. So the Mavic's North American operations are legally distinct from the French company and continue to operate as usual. So that's what's going on with Mavic. And it's kind of big news. They've been around for as long as I can remember. When I was building wheels back in the day, and I built enough wheels that I can do them now in my sleep, my number one choice was a Mavic rim. It's always going to be a Mavic rim. They were the best. They were built the best. They were most reliable. If you pulled it out of the box and it was in any way not straight, it was a rare occasion. They last a really long time. I still am riding on Mavic GP4s and GEL330s. Remember those? Yeah, they go way, way back in time, and they're still working. They're still functional. I've changed the hubs over so I can still ride, 11-speed bikes and all that, but they still work, and they're great. And they're in great shape, and they true up nicely, and they stay true. But anyway, so Mavic has I have a kind of a soft spot for them. Okay, moving on to the next thing here. What is going to be... I wanted to actually do this first here. We're going to talk a little bit... Before I get to that part, I'm going to talk a little bit about our events that are coming up. We still, to this day, have not heard anything more about the 9th Annual Thread City Cyclers Century Ride on July 26, 2020. Come and explore the roads that Pedal and Ron and Fran ride on. I will keep you up to date on that one, just so you know. The Steeplechase Bicycle Tour. This one I know a little bit more about. I was on a Zoom call yesterday on this, and I only got dropped once. I guess that's a good thing. But anyway, I was on a Zoom call, and it's really cool to see all my friends that are on the board with Steeplechase, and we talked about what do we do, and talking about virtual ride, we're talking about all these different things. And it probably will be a virtual ride, but there may be some other aspects that are here. And so I wanted to just run this by you real quick. This is from Dan Gerwin, who is the human resource manager at Perception Programs and pretty much is in charge of this thing. And he said, here's a few recommended talking points for your Facebook Live event. And it is... Just so you know, the three agencies that we support for this never closed. They need your help now more than ever. The event is going to go virtual and will look different. You're going to join us virtually on August 15th. There's still great, still support three great organizations. The details will follow in 2 weeks. And Dan just wanted you to all just hang in there. If you're still thinking about doing the Steeplechase, there are going to be ways of doing it, including the possibility of a physical ride that will be, there will be no starting time on it. There will be, we'll have to have it so it spreads out properly. Everyone's going to have to be a little careful about how they do things. But it will probably be the actual ride will probably be the 20-mile ride, which stops at the Holy Cow Family Shelter, which is right across the street from where we live, and there's a big field there, and we can work this out. We're trying to hammer out the logistics of it. The other thing that is going to be possibly available is for about a cycling season. I was running group rides out of Eastern Connecticut State University's parking lot, the ball field parking lot. And I am hoping to get all of those posted. They're all on Ride with GPS. And you could come and do your own ride and tell your friends that, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to ride my bike 20 miles today. And if you could give me a dollar a mile for, you know, every mile I ride, it goes to great organizations. And then, you know, you can do that. That's, I mean, there's ways of working with this. There's certainly ways of working with this. And I'm not telling you what to do or how to do it. It's just, these are just simple suggestions and ideas. So Forum to Fork Fondos, I'm still talking to Tyler. There's some different things going on. Stay on his website. Check and see what's going on. Some finishing points for today that I want to address. 2020 could be the year that cycling advocates and urban planners have been waiting for. Now it's a great opportunity for us to change so much in our lives to a positive situation. More walking, more cycling, increased fitness and awareness of those around you. We could not have imagined a better master plan. Twitter says that the work at home may become a standard. That's right. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, where are we here, told his employees they can work from home forever. Okay, now there's a catch, and there's a big catch on here. Their operation has been working so well with them being at home. And I also heard this from someone who works for the Social Security Administration, too. Same deal. People are much better working at home than they are in the office place. There's no bickering in the office. There's no bullies in the office. There's no like weird politics that happen in offices. And production level has gone up, not down, up. So everything that everybody feared about this has turned into that was no big deal. Twitter is now saying that he wants to keep more of his employees home. What does it mean? Those big office parks, those really expensive rents that are in the middle of, you know, Manhattan or wherever, we don't need them anymore, okay? It's not going to be that big of a deal because the costs are going to go down. Well, if the costs go down, if it was a perfect organization and a perfect working environment and someone who is very, very conscious of taking care of all, everybody could get a raise. The downside is, and what I'm reading is, that now you can hire somebody from Montana to come work for you who is way qualified, and they don't have to be living in New York,
right,
where they're going to be, the cost of living is way higher. So they're not going to need as much money. So therefore, you're going to be able to get discounted employees because of that. That's the fear of all this.
So they're going to be less likely to hire people locally in the big cities. Where
that's correct.
Because there's a lower cost of living in Indiana or Montana.
Sure. Absolutely.
That's the
catch that goes along with this. But Jack Dorsey is behind this, and he sees it as the future. And I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right. I think that, you know, more and more people are going to be able to work from their homes, and that could turn into a pretty good thing. That's not what I wanted. Anyway, what does it mean to you? If the future of work goes in this direction, if this is what we decide to do, if more and more people, let's say 20% of the workforce no longer has to go to work as we know it. Well, if you are commuting on your bicycle to get to work and you are still able to go to physical work, you're going to have to deal with less cars on the road. That's a good thing. That's a really, really good thing. What does that mean to you as a commuter and a cyclist? You'll also, maybe if your commute turns into, 10 seconds because you walk from your bedroom to the, wherever you have your office set up at home and it takes you 10 seconds to get there, what does that mean? That means that 15 minute to hour and a half that you spent in a motorized vehicle to get to work
and stressed out
and dealing with it, it's gone. So what does that mean?
You can spend that time exercising.
Yes,
too.
You can use it to ride your bike. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
What if you decided that, well, every morning I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I got myself ready for work and I was out the door by 7 because I knew I had an hour to get to work because I was going to get caught in traffic. What if you took that hour instead and rode your bike, went out, go for a nice bike ride, you know, clear your head, get back. Maybe you're a little
freezing cold. Go downstairs and do your
or hop
do
on your
Zwift.
Hop on your Zwift. You know, Zwift will love you. you know, there's so many great possibilities because of this. This is going to open up your ability to have more free time than you have ever had. And I know your experience this now, because we all are running into this, where, you know, work has changed. Work, as we know it, is becoming a very different affair. So that 10-second commute frees up more of your time, so you can have time to do things that bring you pleasure. Maybe you want to spend a little more time with your kids, if you have kids.
Or you just might be less tired.
Or maybe you'll just be less tired, exactly.
Don't you feel like we're getting more sleep now since the pandemic?
We are getting a lot more sleep since the pandemic.
Maybe because you're not going early in the morning to teach spinning.
Right.
That may come back.
It's going to come back. I'm sure it's going to come back. But yeah, I would, to teach a, you know, 5:45 class, I would get up by 4:15 to 4:30 to get my brain wrapped around, first of all, waking up at that time of day, which is just not always good, especially if it's dark out. If it's dark out, then yeah, I see that. If it's dark, that's my 5-minute call, by the way. That hand that went in here that did this, that's my 5-minute call. So that's, don't get too long-winded on this run. I understand. Yes, it is. Yeah, well, we're getting there. So this is a good thing. I'm trying to look at finishing up this show today and adding in enough information with this show today to start looking at COVID-19, which has been a terrible thing. And I know people who have lost family members from it and friends from it, and it's horrible. And I will not take back from that. There's no question about it. But this may become the thing that we've been all needing in our future. It's reduced pollution, less congestion on the roads, less wear and tear on the roads. You know what less wear and tear on the roads means? It means less dollars spent to repair the roads.
Lower taxes,
exactly. And maybe tax money set in a direction which will be better for us all, one way or the other. They always seem to figure out a way to spend our money, but that's okay. So this is all really, really positive. I'm trying to look at things from a positive point. The reason that Fran and I are broadcasting live today is because tomorrow and Monday are supposed to be gorgeous, and we're cyclists, and we're going to go out and ride our bikes.
Also, so, I feel like more people listen to us today because it's not such nice weather,
yep.
And Monday's Memorial Day, and
sure.
It's going to be gorgeous out.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So get out and ride your bikes. It's Memorial Day weekend. It is time to break out. If you've been confined inside and you're feeling like, I just got to get out of here, get out of there. Get on your bike and go. You can give yourself a lot of distance. Get on the bike, get out there, and go. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Pedalin Ron, and you've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, and on the Bicycle Talk Facebook page or on podcast, you'd like to comment, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. If you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, please send me an email. This is Pedalin Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs. Thanks so much for listening.